Manchester City and RB Leipzig are through to the round of 16 after Tuesday night's wins. But these standout victories belong to others in this season's group stage. Dortmund doing the double over Newcastle. Giroud the match winner over Paris Saint-Germain. While Shakhtar secure an extraordinary and famous win over the Spanish champions Barcelona in Hamburg. There were crucial results for Porto, Atletico, and Lazio too. We'll get into all of it after a stellar showing in the UEFA Champions League. I'm Rob Daly, delighted to have European football expert Chris Parrott alongside me to look back at Tuesday night action. And Chris, it's hard to know where to start because there are so many stories from match day four already.
Yeah, it felt like the night that this half of the group stage really came alive. I think the win for Milan against Paris, a classic San Siro night. And after all of those stories, I guess also apt perhaps at the first team through by a couple of minutes were the defending champions in Manchester City. That section might be settled, but the other ones are wide open now going into the final two group matches.
Let's go through the results then. Group E, Atletico 6, Celtic 0, Lazio 1, Feyenoord 0. Group F, early kickoff, Dortmund 2, Newcastle 0. Milan 2, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Group G, Manchester City 3, Young Boys 0. Savena Zvezda 1, Leipzig 2. And in Group H, Shakhtar Donetsk 1, Barcelona 0 in one of the early kickoffs. Porto 2, Royal Antwerp 0. We've got to start with Group F. And a massive game in Germany as Borussia Dortmund hosted Newcastle. Former Magpies midfielder Darren Ambrose watched this one alongside Steve Wilson.
Füllkrug back into Sabitzer, to tight angle. Füllkrug 1-0. Dortmund take the lead. And it's Niklas Füllkrug from close range, left-footed into the roof of the Newcastle net. It's a breakthrough for Borussia Dortmund, and they do deserve it.
Great reverse into the box, and there was Füllkrug. Does what good forwards do in the right place at the right time, and a great finish, has to be said.
Newcastle are in all kinds of bother here. It's 2-on-1. It's Brandt, he can roll it into Sabitzer or go for goal. He does the latter, and Dortmund lead by 2. Newcastle caught out from their free kick inside the Dortmund half of the field.
Brandt had the opportunity to play Sabitzer in, but he went himself, and what a fantastic finish with his left foot into the bottom corner. Nick Pope had no chance. 2-0.
Back-to-back wins without conceding against Newcastle United, who were admittedly lacking players due to a massive injury list. But for Dortmund, what a boost. 7 points after 4 group stage matches now. They've progressed to the next round of the Champions League 10 times out of 10, with at least that tally at this stage. Well, you heard from Darren Ambrose there in commentary. Here's what impressed him the most about Dortmund's display on the night.
The attacking play. I mean, they were comfortable throughout in terms of defending because Callum Wilson was isolated in the first half. Anthony Gordon came on in the second half. He was isolated also, but the intent that Dortmund showed every time they got the ball, from the first minute, Adeyemi got the ball, attacked the fullback, ended up on the left-hand side, got the ball again, attacked the fullback again. Brandt came into the game later on in the latter stages, and he was fantastic. And you got Füllkrug, who done well on his goal, but he links the play together with Nemecha just backing everything up. Comfortable throughout, it has to be said, and Kerbel wasn't really tested.
You felt Newcastle, in terms of industry and effort, was certainly there tonight.
Yeah, it wasn't through want of trying, absolutely not. And this is what they've been looking for in the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, to be back in the Champions League, back playing at the highest level. Miguel Amorim probably changed the game a little bit in Newcastle's favour, with Livramento going down the right-hand side. But other than that, the experience of Dortmund showed it was a great reaction off the back of a disappointing result against Bayern. And they deserved the victory today, it has to be said.
Yes, Darren was alluding to there. Remember that Dortmund lost 4-0 in the Clásico at the hands of Bayern at the weekend. Some response to that result. Let's hear from Dortmund striker Karim Adeyemi post-match.
I think it was a great game from us, and we play very aggressive. We had a lot of chances. Defense-wise, we were really good, and at the end, I think a good game from us. Champions League is also a special night, and we came here to win, and this is what we did today.
Karim Adeyemi there. Of course, Newcastle without a number of players at the moment, Chris. Byrne, Murphy, Barnes, Anderson, Isak, Botman, and Target Antonali, of course, out right now. It made it difficult. They couldn't even name a full bench in Germany.
Yeah, it made it difficult with their 11. They had to bring on a very talented 17-year-old that they think greatly of. But in this group, on their return to the Champions League after such a long absence, I think Newcastle, with their best 11 out, would really have backed themselves. But it's going to be difficult, I think, in what is a section where every point is going to count right up to match day six. And Newcastle are not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. They'll back themselves to beat anybody at home. But as you mentioned, Nandara mentioned, Dortmund, that is some response. That was a seriously good double. I don't think many going into match day three would have backed Dortmund to have picked up 6 points against Newcastle.
No, definitely not. Okay, so that was the early game. Let's go to the other match in Group F, a late kickoff, as Paris Saint-Germain travelled to AC Milan. Chris was alongside Mark Scott for this one.
Free head and surely in, buried by Milan Skriniar from point-blank range, and Paris have the advantage. A set piece catches Milan out.
Well, 6 years here as a player with Nerazzurri. And against his former City rivals, he couldn't really miss.
Here's an intelligent pass out wide, and the hit that comes in from Giroud's save. The rebound's in, though! Wonderful overhead from Raphael to level things up for Milan. That is genius from the number 10. The overhead kick to convert the rebound.
An overhead kick, you don't get many of them. They are something to savour, and so is the start to this match. It's an absolute corker.
Teo Hernandez back in. Oh, what a goal! Olivier Giroud with a smashing header to put Milan in front.
Against the French champions, one of France's best ever strikers has produced a classic Olivier Giroud finish. And, well, we have a game on our hands now.
Yeah, quintessential Giroud, wasn't it, really, to win the game for Milan. And impressive to come from behind to claim that victory. Mark joins us now. Mark, blimey, what a game. What a game.
Incredible. It started off at such a frenetic pace, and you thought it wouldn't be able to stay that way, but it did for the main part, especially before half-time. Chances here, there and everywhere. And Stefano Pioli had said beforehand he wanted his team to be courageous, to play with confidence. I thought, well, that's very nice that you want that, but given the form that you're in, it's going to be pretty tricky for you to deliver that, especially against a Paris side that are really cooking recently as well. But they did just that. They were on the front foot. Yes, being adventurous meant that they left a few gaps at the back. And when you've got the likes of Dembele and Mbappe, Paris are always going to have some openings. But they took the threat to Paris. They also showed real heart and courage, as he wanted to, after falling behind. They didn't fold in the face of the pressure that they were facing, because this was essentially a must-win game, or definitely a do-not-lose game, if they wanted to have any chance of making it through to the knockout stages. And they did it with real heart, but also real style and real quality. And the two goals that they scored to go on and win the game were exceptional. And I know that there's going to be a lot of praise coming the way of both Rafa Leao and Olivier Giroud for the winning goal as well. But for me, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, he's only come back recently after a month out. And you perhaps just wonder what Milan might have been able to do if he'd been available for their last few UEFA Champions League games, especially the reverse fixture against Paris. He was a one-man machine in the centre of the park for them. And overall, they were good value for it, because in the second half, it was Donnarumma, the former Milan man, who had to make more of the saves.
It was, and it felt like a very, very big victory for this group of players against one of the favourites, I think we can say. Certainly, Stefano Pioli said that before the match. Lots of new signings for a famous club. They've won it 7 times. They were back in the semi-finals last season. But for a number of the players who were so excellent this evening, This is their finest night on the European stage for Milan, and you wonder what that will do for the next two games. You mentioned Loftus-Cheek. I thought Reinders was excellent in central midfield as well. And they had a combination of real heart, real desire, and also then the class and the quality to create chances and take them. And they are now right back in contention for one of the top two places in Group F. And if they play like this in the next two games, then it'll take a very, very good side to stop them, frankly, because this was an excellent, excellent performance. And it has to be said, in a wonderful atmosphere, which I'm sure must have spurred them on from minute one.
We were talking at half-time about whether it was must-win, and Milan definitely played it like they had to win it. And it does change the dynamic of the group now, Mark. Dortmund, 7 points. Paris, 6. Milan, 5. Newcastle, 4. And I suppose the group is delivering what we kind of expected, that we had these four extremely strong, evenly matched teams.
And Chris mentioned it, that as soon as the draw was made, everyone's eyes were drawn to Group F, because it was just a mouth-watering proposition. But as Chris rightly said, sometimes it doesn't live up to those expectations, but boy, are we getting what we hope for with Group F, because it's up for grabs with two match days left to play. Those games now all feel like knockout matches, don't they? You know, those last two rounds.
Is Paris Saint-Germain, Newcastle next, and Milan, Dortmund? There are no bad games in this group.
I'm trying to think that there has been a time in recent memory going into match day 6 where all four teams can qualify, and you can sense that might be happening as well. And then anything can happen, because every goal counts, every save counts, and we get one of those brilliant Champions League evenings. But to try and set that up, Milan had to win this game, and they did. And, you know, you think of, Mark mentioned it, some of Donnarumma's saves in the second half. There was one in particular from Noah Okafor, which was incredible. Otherwise, it might have been more. I know that Lee hit the post, but I think you'd be hard-pushed to say that Milan didn't deserve all 3 points.
And when you look at the sort of context of the group at the moment, maybe Newcastle might have looked at it as, if we go to Paris on match day 5 and come away with a point, that's a decent return. But now, with the way that the wheels have turned, they'll probably go there a bit like Milan tonight, saying this is must win. And suddenly, what does that mean for the game that Paris try to play? And it's the same for Dortmund now. Now they're sort of at the summit. They might go to San Siro and think, well, you know, a draw. I mean, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But tonight, those words from their head coach, Stefano Pioli, about courage and confidence, I really did think, well, yeah, OK, let's see if they can produce that, because it's a big ask. And they did, in bucket loads.
You have mentioned him already, but the official player of the match, Rafael Leao, can we talk about what he's bringing to the Champions League, to this Milan side? I mean, strong and skillful and quick and strong again. I mean, it's just impossible to knock off the ball nearly.
Exactly. Some Milan fans were saying, well, look, Mbappe may have won the battle on match day 3, but maybe Rafael showed what he's about this evening, and he's the one that hogged the limelight, because he had those qualities in abundance.
He did. I mean, it was his first goal for quite a while in the Champions League, but we all saw that run against Napoli in the quarterfinals last season, which was one of the moments of last season. But he did that tonight, albeit not to create a goal, but the way that he was able to protect the ball, move Milan up the pitch, some of his trickery. But it wasn't trickery just to look good. It was trickery to get out of tight spots and move Milan up the pitch. Was amazing. And he topped it off with the overhead kick, which he had three players and the goalkeeper on the goal line, and he wasn't facing any of them. And he managed to somehow direct it between them all and into the back of the net.
To get that next level, you just need to do it nearly every week in the Champions League. That's what we've seen from these elite players, isn't it, in the competition. Let's just quickly move on to another group now. Group E, Atletico beat Celtic by 6-0. An extraordinary performance after the two teams drew 2-2 on match day 3. Antoine Griezmann scoring brilliant goals, his second on the hour mark, an acrobatic finish. Alvaro Morata, Samuel Lino scoring absolute crackers. And at 1-0 down in the 23rd minute, Celtic went down to 10 men and it made it an uphill battle. Let's hear from their captain, Callum McGregor.
Yeah, I actually thought we started the game pretty well, and then even lose a goal, we're still decent value at that point. We're in the game, and then if we probably get to half time at 1-0, the game probably feels a little bit different for us again. Again, it's just concentration, small details off the second phase. Then we make the game so difficult for ourselves, and to be fair to them, you know, that was a clinic and how to play against 10 men. You know, they really stretched the pitch, runners inside pocket, and you see they got in time and time again. So it's something we'll have to look at the game and try and use that moving forward if it does happen again.
Callum McGregor there, but we've got to speak about an Atletico midfielder, and it was Antoine Griezmann, a role we know he does well for France. We heard from our reporter Alexandra Janssen before the game. She said there's talk that he'll play midfield. He did. He still scores two goals. An extraordinary performance, Chris.
Yeah, it's the first time they've scored six under Diego Simeone in the Champions League. You mentioned the quality of the goals. You don't necessarily think of Atletico as being a side that will hit half a dozen, but Griezmann has all those qualities because he has the passing ability, he has the footballing intelligence. He's the type of guy that seems to have that 360 picture whenever he gets the ball. So if he is deeper, and who knows, maybe now that will happen more and more. In a difficult group, that's a fantastic win. And you mentioned Atletico certainly learned from Glasgow, because that was very, very even in that 2-2 game. Celtic were disappointed not to win it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So to come back and hit them for 6 2 weeks later is mightily impressive.
So the group at the moment now, Atletico are top on 8 points, and Lazio were hoping to get above Feyenoord in the standings. The two sides met in Rome. Phil Blacker called the decisive moment.
Ball over the top, might break here for Immobile. It does, he's around Justin Bailo, goes for goal and squeezes it in. Goal number 200 in the Lazio shirt for Ciro Immobile. And it's the breakthrough here just before the break against Feyenoord. The captain kept his composure to go around the goalkeeper and score. Fine finish. He did have Kamada calling for it in front of an open goal, but he picked out that far corner himself. Ciro Immobile celebrates. Lazio lead against Feyenoord by a goal to nil.
It was their sole shot on target in the first half, and it came in first half added time, and it was the winner. Phil, give us your overall thoughts about the game first and whether Lazio deserved the 3 points on the night.
Yeah, I think they did, because they had to work so hard for it. It was the only effort actually that they had on target in the entirety of the game from Immobile, but a real moment of quality to separate the sides. They had to do a lot of work without the ball. Feyenoord, as the away team, had 62% possession, I think, according to the official statistics. But at no stage really in the second half did you get the feeling that the equalising goal was necessarily on the way. They prompted and they probed and they created openings without those translating into clear-cut chances. A couple of headers wide from Jimenez, Igor Paschal, before he was substituted with an effort just wide as well. He had another deflected over the bar. Feyenoord continued to push right the way through to the whistle, and there was a big moment in what proved to be the very last action of the game. Ivan Provodello, of course, on match day one, rescued a point for Lazio with that remarkable equalising goal against Atletico in this group. Probably preserved a couple of points for them with a save that he made from Ueda, the Japanese striker who'd not long since come off the Feyenoord bench. And that just secured the victory for them. It secured actually a first clean sheet for Lazio in 23 Champions League matches dating back to September of 2003, since they last shut out the opposition in this competition. But the way that they worked, the way that they defended with discipline, I think just about earned the points. And it sees them up above Feyenoord, who fall from top spot in the group to third in the section in Group E with a couple of games to go. This is going to, I think, potentially go to the wire as well. It was a game that Lazio needed to win. They had to dig deep to do so, but they got the job done.
And Phil, 200 goals for one club is... We don't see that feat that often, but Ciro Immobile has had such an astonishing career.
He has, and it makes that moment, I think, all the more special given the significance of it, the milestone that it brought up. It's exactly the sort of way that he would have wanted to bring up the 200 goals, with one that mattered as much as this one did. It came, Chris, in his 311th appearance for Lazio, so it's a pretty remarkable ratio, isn't it? And it came after a season, really, in which he and Tati Castellanos have been rotating that centre-forward role under Maurizio Sarri. Immobile hasn't been starting every game. He certainly didn't start in the Serie A game against Bologna on Friday night. He just got, I say just, the three goals so far this season. He yet to score in this season's Champions League, but he came up with a massive moment. And the sort of composure that he showed in finding the finish, it's exactly what he's been doing for so long. Trademark goal, really, from Immobile, and as I say, one that matters so much.
Lazio host Celtic next. Feyenoord take on Atletico in Rotterdam. The group looks like this. Atletico 8, Lazio 7, Feyenoord 6 points, Celtic 1. So there's three teams really competing for those two places in a very tight section. Okay, still to come, we'll look more at the Tuesday night action of match day 4 in this season's Champions League and have a quick look ahead to Wednesday.
Take UEFA Champions League match day live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Manchester City, the defending champions, were by a couple of minutes the first team, Chris, into the round of 16 with a victory over Young Boys.
Yeah, I mean, the news, the big news before the game was that Erling Haaland was fit. And he was, and he scored another couple of goals. And I mean, already Rob, at the age of what, 23, there aren't that many players ahead of him in the all-time list.
How many?
I think I saw the stat, was it 19?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Which, I mean, is a fair amount, but I think he's already up to level with Fernando Morientes and these players that we all
ridiculous.
Watched for years, and yeah. Here he is. But yeah, I mean, very impressive in a section where they were big favourites once the draw happened, but two games to spare, defending champions looking very, very good. And I mean, we heard from Pep Guardiola after the game in Bern saying about how without Ilkay Gundogan and Kevin De Bruyne, maybe we need to give Erling some, in the Champions League, some better crosses, some better passes. Well, certainly on the evidence of tonight, that had happened. He gets a couple of goals and the City winning machine in this competition just rolls on.
Yeah, scored a penalty in the, roughly the midway point in the first half. Phil Foden got a lovely goal before the break, played in by Jack Grealish, wide right, he cut in and just slipped the ball past the keeper before Haaland scored the goal of the game. Edge of the box, managed to find an angle left side of the area and fired it into the far top corner. Young Boys finished the game with 10 men after a red card, not long after Haaland's second. Let's hear from City boss Pep Guardiola, pleased with all three goals tonight.
Before, we had a struggle in the last years to, when you have a penalty, not to score a penalty, and you have you are okay, he's going to score, and after he's able to do the goal. The second goal from Phil was extraordinary for the quality of the pass from Jack and the control, the double control and the finishing from Phil. And always we are talking about that. So when you arrive with 60, 70 years old, when you shoot soft in the angles, in the post, closer. And now you should destroy. And it's completely the opposite. And now in the goal, he did it perfectly. You know, it's not there, you don't have to shoot strong. You have to put the ball in the net. And he did it perfectly. And the second, third goal, and Erling again. So making an incredible, incredible goal.
The thoughts of Pep Guardiola after Manchester City's victory. They've become the 12th team, by the way, to score 250 UEFA Champions League goals. They've reached the milestone in fewer games than any other side, 119. The other team through tonight in the Champions League came in the same group, Group G, RB Leipzig, 2-1 winners away at Sevena Zvezda. Lovely goals, the first from Xavi Simons. He curled the ball into the top corner on 8 minutes after a driving run into the area. How good's he looking in the Champions League? Loisa Penda, 13 minutes from the end, was slipped in and slipped the ball past the keeper to score. Benjamin Hemrick scored an own goal late on that gave the Serbian champions hope, but Leipzig with the victory are into the knockout stages. Let's hear from the match winner, the player of the match, Loisa Penda.
We have confidence in the dressing room, everybody have confidence. We have we are strong together, and we know that we had the chance to win this game, and we did it all together. So it was not about difficult, but just about being all together and fight for each other.
And Chris, you've got a nice little stat for this one, for this group.
Yeah, first time in their Champions League history, Leipzig, that they haven't had to wait until match day 6 to learn their
stress-free.
But with two games to spare, and quietly, I think you're in the section with the defending champions, but you look at the Leipzig team, you look at the way they're playing, you look at Openda and Simons, They are going to be...
It's a good team.
It's a very good team. They're going to be a serious threat, I think, in the round of 16.
Manchester City, 12 points. Leipzig, 9. Savanas Vesta and Young Boys cannot progress, of course, from the group, therefore, both on 1 point. Match day 5, City host Leipzig. So let's see if Leipzig can avenge their defeat on match day 2. Let's go to Group H then here, Chris. What a night for Shakhtar Donetsk. 1-0 winners over Barcelona. Sikam with the winner, 5 minutes from time in the first half. And they deserved it. They could have won by a greater margin.
Yeah, they were brilliant. The quality of the goal, that the header hung in the air, took all the pace off the ball, looped it the other way from where the goalkeeper was going.
And the build-up.
And the build-up. Pass of the night, I think, 60, 70 yards from Georgi Gosselashvili was wonderful. Then the cross, then the header, and they had a goal disallowed. Playing in Hamburg, warred on by the supporters there. Some story. Of course, they beat Barcelona famously in the competition 10, 15 years ago or so, but to do that this season is an immense effort and will warm the hearts of Shakhtar supporters everywhere. And of course, again, it's another section which is now just a bit of jeopardy for Barcelona, maybe. And a result that Shakhtar needed gives them serious hope of reaching the first knockout round.
It does change the dynamic of the group, because Barcelona went into that game in Germany knowing a point would be enough and they're into the round of 16, having been knocked out in the group stage in the previous campaign. So it's still all to play for in this section. Porto as well, big win for them. They've done the double over all Antwerp, 2-0 winners. Evan Nielsen, who scored a hat-trick when the sides met 2 weeks ago, scored a penalty. And then Pepe, who turns 41 in February with a thumping header to break the record held by Francesco Totti as the eldest Champions League goal scorer.
And if you think about everything he's done in this competition, how many times he's won it with Real Madrid, it's quite apt, actually. I mean, he's not one of the great goal scorers, but to score in your 40s in the Champions League, it's not a surprise. It hasn't happened
before.
I think
he's already the oldest outfield player anyway.
Yeah.
I think a record he's been setting by each match day.
Yeah, but now to have scored. I mean, him and Giroud on this Champions League Tuesday. it's amazing. And they don't really show much signs of slowing down. They're both absolutely key to two clubs who we might now see in the last 16. But this section is really... Normally, if you have 9 points after 4 games, you're very confident of going through. But that Shakhtar result, great win for Marina Pusic, who, of course, is newly there as head coach.
Yeah.
Just means that going into match day 5, even Barcelona, who had a 100% record coming into this one, and I think every team since the introduction of this format has gone through if they've had 3 wins from 3. But even Barcelona now just need to be careful. I think they're playing Porto next. Which
That's right, they're hosting them.
It's a very big game.
It certainly is. So Barcelona 9 points, Porto 9, Shakhtar 6, Royal Antwerp yet to get off the mark. They played well and they were down to 10 men for much of the second half and were holding Porto, but ultimately beaten once again. So let's see who's going to get through that group in the UEFA Champions League. Antwerp cannot progress to the round of 16. So that was Tuesday night. 8 more games to look forward to on Wednesday. You won't miss a thing right here on the show as Jack Winstanley reports.
A number of clubs can reach the last 16 with 2 group games to spare on Wednesday. One of those is Real Sociedad, who have loved their first Champions League campaign in 10 years.
It's Brais Mendes. He's going to go all alone. Yes, he is. A quick counter. And in the blink of an eye, Real Sociedad double their lead.
La Real host Benfica tomorrow and we'll have full match commentary from 6:45 CET. Regular updates from Naples too, as Napoli aim to do the double over Union Berlin.
A crossing chance, pulls it back! Giacomo Raspadori for Napoli. And the cheers in Berlin are Neapolitan ones.
There's some great fixtures to look forward to in the 6 late kickoffs as well. Bayern and Real Madrid are both giants in this competition. Both can make it 4 wins out of 4 and progress to the knockout stage.
The ball to Musiala and Harry Kane is there. The first attempt is charged down by Boe, but not the second. And the England captain, who came to Germany and can't stop scoring, has done it once again.
Pinball in the penalty area, could go anywhere. And it's in from Bellingham, who got the final touch. Real Madrid
Bayern host Galatasaray in 24 hours' time, and Real Madrid welcome Braga to the Bernabeu. Our late commentary comes from London, though, where another win for Arsenal against Sevilla could see them secure a place in the last 16.
A terrific ball through Martinelli. He's clean through again for Arsenal on the stroke of half-time, and he will score!
Kickoff is at 9 p.m. CET, and we'll have the goals as they go in from every match on Wednesday. Manchester United go to Copenhagen, and it could be dramatic if their meeting at Old Trafford 2 weeks ago is anything to go by.
The son of former Manchester United striker Henrik Larsson stands over the ball. He's up against Onana, and Jordan Larsson is denied by Onana! What a save from the goalkeeper! Surely Manchester United have won!
Elsewhere, PSV host Lens, and it's Salzburg against Inter. Join us for another huge night of Champions League football on Wednesday. Matchday Live is on air from 6 p.m. CET.
Jack and Danny looking ahead to Wednesday's game. So let's just pick out a couple of these. We're going to have an extended update of Bayern Galatasaray in Group A. But it's all about the Højlund brothers, Chris, in Copenhagen.
Yeah, we saw Theo and Luca Hernandez tonight, didn't we? Could we have another brothers? It doesn't happen very often in Champions League history. They didn't quite get on the pitch together at Old Trafford.
Nearly. But. So there's Rasmus, who plays for United, and then there's Oscar and Emil, who play for Copenhagen.
Yeah, one of whom will probably be more likely to play in the Youth League again. But, I mean, it's some story. Copenhagen can be eliminated. Potentially United, not one of those teams who can go through. Bayern, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Real Sociedad and Inter are the clubs who could potentially join Manchester City.
Must win for United, Chris, do you think, given the situation they're in the group? They've lost at home to Galatasaray.
Possibly. They're a club who will always say that every game is must win, particularly in this competition. And, I mean, it was an almighty... we were both on air for it. It was a bit of an epic at Old Trafford. Not in terms of loads of goals, but incident 2 weeks ago. And it's going to be a wonderful atmosphere at Parken. And if it's not mathematically must win for United, you feel it is for Copenhagen. Yeah. And they will, in a really tight section, if they win that game, then they will still consider they have an opportunity of going through.
Group B, of course, we've got Arsenal, Sevilla on main commentary. But Phil Blackie, you're going to be on PSV Lens. What's the status of things with those two teams in the group?
Really important one, I think, Robert. Halfway stage, PSV yet to get a victory. In fact, you've got to go back 17 games for the last time that they won in the Champions League proper, and yet they will certainly fancy their chances in this one against Lens, having held them in northern France a couple of weeks ago, and of course won 11 from 11 at the summit of the Eredivisie. They've been setting a remarkable pace domestically, but if they are to maintain genuine hopes, I think, of going further in the Champions League, they will see this one as must win against a Lens side who've been impressive themselves in Group B, who have yet to taste defeat, currently sitting second, just a point behind Arsenal. First season for them in Europe in 16 years, and they've adapted to it really well, so it's got the makings of a fascinating game.
OK, I'll steer you back to Tuesday now then, Phil, and your group, of course, because you've been commentating on this group with Atletico 8 points, Lazio 7, Feyenoord 6, Celtic 1. So which two teams do you think are going to end up on matchday 6 as in the round of 16?
that is a really tough one because of how tight the group is, and it's still the case where there's only a couple of points between the top three, as was the case going into matchday 4. They've all swapped round, everything up for grabs, entirely possible they could all swap round again, but I find it difficult to look beyond Atletico. I think they just have the nous in this group, and after the performance that they put in against Celtic, they now, top of the group, are in pole position. And looking at the fixtures over the two remaining games, Lazio having gone up above Feyenoord, at home to Celtic next on matchday 5, win that one as well back at the Olympico, I think they could go through as well with Atletico. And Feyenoord now, having gone into matchday 4, top of the group, they'll be fearing, I think, for their chances of future progress in the competition.
Yeah, tricky situation for Feyenoord. Group F then, Mark and Chris. So we've got Dortmund, a reminder. Dortmund 7 points, Paris 6, Milan 5, Newcastle 4. Who's getting through now then?
Well, can you ask us after match?
I'm going to be boring and say the current top two.
Are you? Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain.
I think that Newcastle at the moment are ravaged by injuries, and I think it might be a bit of a tall order for them, especially with a trip to Paris to come on match day 5. So I'm counting them out. Milan have given themselves a really good chance of it, but I just fancy that Dortmund and Paris might have enough to get over the line, but I think it'll be two from those three. I sadly think that it might be too tall an order for Newcastle.
I think that they may all win their remaining home games. You think of all the atmospheres in all four of those stadiums. Don't ask me what that does to the match.
No, that means everyone stays the same.
that means the top two
just
go
give everyone 3 points.
Oh yeah, there we go.
All right, so Dortmund and Paris. That's what we think is happening.
I think so too,
actually. Yeah. Okay, but we've got a long way to go yet. We'll find out in mid-December, and hopefully the drama will continue to match day six. Chris, Mark and Phil, thank you very much for your company on the show this evening. That is all we have time for. So thank you very much for listening. Matchday Live is on air from 6 p.m. CET every Champions League match night throughout the group stages. And a reminder on Wednesday, full commentary of Real Sociedad versus Benfica and Arsenal versus Sevilla. Extended updates from Bayern Galatasaray as well, and all the goals as they go in the Champions League. And remember to download this very podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite provider. From me, Rob Daly, and to the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.